Would you like some help for the new year? I would. I believe God's word will help us. Would you like some help? Now, this may be too honest. This may be, question might be painful to answer, but I'll just answer it for me. Brother Wayne, do you need help? Well, yes. If I was back before I grew up, it'd be shoot, yeah. Shoot, yeah, I need help. Well, our help, the scripture lets us know, cometh from above, doesn't it? And the Lord will help you. And today, about the only requirement for getting his help is wanting it. Have you told God lately that you want his help? Folks, I'm afraid this is not a judgment call. This is just a fear. I'm afraid we get more from God now than we ask for. We ought to be talking to him and say, God, I really need you. I need you in this area, and I need you in this area, and I need you in this area. About as simple as you can deal with this today, I want you to go with me to the first chapter, to 1 Peter chapter 3, not the first chapter, to 1 Peter chapter 3. And I'm going to ask the people at the booth to increase my lighting just a little bit right here. First Peter chapter 3. You can increase that lighting a little bit more. I'm beginning to see my Bible take focus just a little bit more. Good deal. That's fine. We can handle that. First Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 10, 11, and 12. And I call this help for a new year. Are you at 1 Peter 3, verse 10? Yes. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. This morning, out of these verses, I want to begin by talking to you, if you're taking any notes. I want to begin with our first heading in first division. And I want you to look with me in this text of Scripture, verses really 10 and 11, I want you to look with me at what I refer to as basic behavior. What's interesting about the basic behavior in these verses, if you had a 3-year-old child or grandchild, you would want to teach your child or grandchild what's in these verses. Now, folks, there's help here today for everybody. This is not too hard for anyone, and it's not too simple for anyone. Most of us need help with the ABCs of the Christian life. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about the rest of us. It's the ABCs. When we violate the ABCs, you say, what do you mean by the ABCs? I'm talking about that most elemental part of Christian living. When we violate that, that's where trouble really comes in. And so if we need some help in the new year, we want to look at basic behavior. Now, what is basic behavior? Look at verse 10. If you're going to love life and see good days. Now, we do want to love life, don't we? We do want to see good days, don't we? Well, here's what he says do. Let the text talk to us. First of all, let him refrain his tongue from evil. So the first thing we have is, if you want to jot these down under basic behavior, do not speak evil of others. Well, that brought a big chorus of amens, didn't it? You know why that doesn't bring very many choruses of amens? Because we're everyone guilty of it. Now, when it says, let his tongue or refrain his tongue from evil, it means that the evil is not talking about what you're doing with some other body part. Many times the pastor or the church worker or church folks, you want to talk about that crowd that's immoral and they use their body in immoral ways. And folks, the most deadly sin in the Bible is the sin you commit with a body part that's not talked about much. And the body part is that tongue. J. Harold Smith said on one occasion that it is so deadly and so set on fire of hell that God put it behind ivory bars called teeth, put it down in a solution of liquid called saliva, and sealed it behind a wall of flesh, and we still can't control it. And the body part that is the most deadly is the tongue, because it's the body part that's used to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, for which the Bible says there's no forgiveness. He who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, will not be forgiven. That's not what I said. That's what Jesus said. Now, it's terrible to take somebody's life. Would you agree with that? That's an awful tragedy. And we ought never want to take anybody's life. But folks, blaspheming the Holy Spirit's worse than taking. You could conceivably be a murderer. And Jesus said if you're angry at somebody, that's what murder is in the heart, anger. Nobody murders without anger. So when you have anger in your heart, you got murder in your heart. And people can murder and be angry and be forgiven, but you can't be forgiven of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And you do that with the tongue. So he says, first of all, basic behavior is do not speak evil of others. Well, what am I supposed to do? Well, why don't you try this? I pray God will give them what he knows would be best for them. Now, God may know that they need their britches whipped. And if that's what God determines, then so be it. Amen? He doesn't determine anything bad. So first of all, don't speak evil of others. Second basic behavior is, he wouldn't let it alone. He says in verse 10, let lips that they speak no guile. Now the lips that speak no guile, guile is a word that means falsehood and deceit. So here he's saying, control your tongue with truth. Speak the truth. He earlier said, don't speak evil of others, and now he says, you speak the truth. Don't speak falsehood. Don't try to be deceitful with what you're saying. You know what it is to be deceitful, don't you? I'm going to tell you something in hopes you'll think this, but God and me both knows this is not what is actually true, but I want you to believe that. Folks, that's what a liar is. A liar is somebody that might be telling a portion of truth, but he's telling it so you'll believe something that's not. That's a liar. I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, I didn't mean to, but I told you a lie. And they will go ahead and say that when I told you so-and-so, I thought that was true. I was telling it for the truth, but I found out since then it wasn't true. Well, folks, that's not a lie. You're just mistaken. You weren't deliberately telling me something to deceive me. So he's saying here, control your tongue. Be honest about it, truthful. Number three, basic behavior. If you look at verse 11, let him eschew evil. That means to avoid. What would you tell your children to do if they saw trouble over there with some other kids? What would you tell them to do? Get away from it. In fact, it's interesting that the word eschew, let me tell you what it means. It means that we're going through life like this, and we may have to do this. You probably wouldn't know what it would mean to grow up in a real rural area where bushes are growing out over a dirt road. And I don't want to confess all my sin, but when you grow up like Goldust twins, you try to do tricks on each other. So one day, I'm driving the truck. We're doing plumbing work, electrical work. And my buddy sitting over there had his arm out the window. Well, I saw a briar sticking out, so I just eased over. And, buddy, it got his attention. And then, of course, I said with a big smile, I'm sorry, I didn't see that. And, of course, he knew I did, and we had fun about it and laughed. And he hollered the word briar bush loud enough to be heard halfway across the state of Georgia. But had he seen the briar coming, what would he have done? He would have been out of the way of that window of that door. Eschew evil means watch for it and bend out of the way, avoid it. That's the meaning of that word. So even if we had a three-year-old, we would want them not to speak evil of other people. We would want them to tell the truth with their tongue, and we'd want them to stay away from evil. Then he said, as though that wasn't enough in verse 11, as simple as it's ever stated in Scripture, do, what's that G-O-O-D? You want me to give you a literal Greek definition of that? Are you ready for it? Do good. Now, wasn't that brilliant? Don't do anything knowledgeably that's harmful, that is hurtful. Don't say it. Don't do it. Don't go there. Now, it's only important if you love life and want to see good days. Now, if you don't love life and you don't give a rip how bad things get, then tell lies and talk evil and just don't avoid evil and don't do any good. And that's the greatest prescription for misery I've ever heard of. But if you love life and want to see good days, then don't speak evil of others. Control your tongue. Eschew, that is, bend away, get away from evil. Do good. And one other thing. Verse 11. Seek peace and ensue it. The word seek is a word that means search. I want you to search. Now, what do you do when you search for something? Huh? Did you ever lose anything at the house and you went on a search for it? What did you do? You looked where? Everywhere. I've looked everywhere and I can't find my keys. Now, I know that hadn't been said anywhere except my house. I would like to sleep with keys in my pajamas in the pocket. My wife has never known where her keys are located. They could be in the kitchen. They could be back in the bedroom. They might be on the commode tank. They could be on the back porch. They could be on the front porch. I tell them that when Beth and I finally divorce, down on the reason, it's going to say keys. And if you want me to get up and talk dirty about you at your funeral, you just take my keys and don't give them back. I'll remember that when you die, dude. Of course, I'm being facetious with you, but seek. You look everywhere for it. Why? Why do you look for those keys or whatever it is? Why do you look everywhere for it? I really want to find them. I really want it. Did you ever lose? Probably not. Did you ever lose your driver's license? Or you took out a credit card or identification because somebody needed to see it, and because it wasn't convenient, you just stuck it in another place, and all of a sudden when you went to go get it, it wasn't right where you keep it. Oh my goodness, what did I do with my license? What did I do with my credit card? And you started a search because you really wanted to find it. The Holy Spirit said, I want you to really want to find peace. Peace is that commodity that is present because all is well with your soul in Jesus. Now I want you to seek that. And then he said, ensue it. We don't use that word today in the English language. The word we would use is pursue it. What do you do when you pursue something? You stay after it. Hey, guys, I'll tell you what you do. What about when you was courting old hun there? You just interested in everywhere she went. You wanted to talk to her. You stayed after it until you finally tricked her into marrying you. Amen? You really wanted it. He said, now that's what I want you to do with peace. Why do I give that definition of peace? Because if you've got everything in the world and you're not rightly related in your soul to Jesus, you don't have peace. Did you folks see in the news this week, what's the Amazon chairman's name? Bezos? Did you see in the news? Now, I've forgotten if the one that came across my phone listened to this, because I can't imagine it. It either said he's worth $127 billion with a B, or $137, one or the other. And he and his wife are divorcing after 25 years. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's his fault. I don't know whose fault it is. I don't know anything about it. But here's what I know. I know that having money will not make a happy marriage. But I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't know him if he walked in, and I wouldn't know his wife if she walked in. But if those two souls were at peace with Jesus Christ, it wouldn't matter if they had $1.27. They wouldn't call it quits because they're at peace with Jesus. He said, I want you to pursue that. What he's really saying is that your pathway will gain the friendship of man and the favor of God if you'll just control your tongue and do these things. Avoid evil and do good and seek peace. Now that's the basic behavior that can help me and you for the new year. Would you agree with that? All right, there's a second thing. In verse 12, we move from basic behavior to basic understanding. And this is so simple, it is unreal, but it is so profound in the text of Scripture. Verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Now, if you want to jot down something there, jot this down. God knows, K-N-O-W-S. There's not one thing about you that God doesn't know. He knows your motives when you and I have lied to each other about what our motives are. You do know, don't you, that we all tell ourselves lies. Well, that's not really what my intent was. God knows what your intent was when you don't. That's the first thing you want to notice about a basic understanding that'll help in the new year, and that is God knows. Now look at the next. His ears are open unto their prayers. Now jot this down. God hears. God hears. Folks, the effectual prayers of God's people avail much. And he said, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and that's not the extra special super Christians. He's talking about people that's saved. That's what he's talking about. If you know Christ as your Savior, he says, the eyes of the Lord are over you. And his ears are open to your prayers. In fact, folks, God's ears are open to everything. He knows every word we utter and every thought we think. So God knows because his eyes are over the people of God. He hears because his ears are open. Now notice this. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, and that means God intervenes. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Does anyone know what we call the letters of 1st and 2nd Peter and 1st and 2nd and 3rd John? Those are called general epistles or general letters. Means that they're written to all the people of God. So in the 12th verse, when it says the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, is that saved people or lost people? Huh? All right, next question. If his ears are open unto their prayers, is that saved people or lost people? But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Is that saved people or lost people? Let me answer it. That's saved people. You say, well, what is there about saved people that could possibly be evil? I'm glad you asked the question because the context of Scripture answers it. It's those that speak evil of others. It's those that do not control their tongues. It's those that do not avoid and stay away from evil. It's those who refuse to do good. And it's people that just lollygag around living life and they are no more in the pursuit of peace than a man in the moon. If peace ever hits them, it'll be because they accidentally ran into it. Yes, and a blind hog finds an acorn once in a while. That's who's evil. And basic understanding is this. God knows, God hears, and God intervenes. That's help, folks, for a new year. And I believe I could quit right there, but I want to stop today and end the message with one final thing. And that is, I want to give you some basic questions. Now, you can't write these down. It'll aggravate you too. If you need me to give you what's been on your screen today, we can make that available to you. So just listen and answer these questions as we conclude with a series of basic questions. We looked at basic behavior. We know what that is. The text told us. We looked at basic understanding. And the basic understanding, and we got that figured out, and we want our three-year-olds to know it, and that is that God knows, and he knows everything, and God hears. There's nothing secret to God, and we want a child to even believe that God will intervene in your life. Here's the questions. First of all, think back of last calendar year. Did I learn anything about God or his word last year that I didn't know the previous year? Did you gain anything with God last year at all? Did you learn anything about him and his word that helped you live? Number two, Is anything currently in my life that will hinder the work of God in me or in my church in this new year? Nobody can answer that for you but you, and nobody can answer that for me but me. But is anything currently in my life that will hinder the work of God in me or in my church in the new year? Third one, do I earnestly pray for my church family and my pastor? I mean, every week you live. I don't know how you go every day and not pray for your church family. Folks, I was praying for my church family before I ever thought God would ever let me preach. Because I loved my church and I loved those people. And they were good to me and they invested in my life growing up. I loved my vacation Bible school teachers. I loved my Sunday school teachers as a kid. Then I loved my pastor when he came to be my pastor at age 15. I loved him. I did everything I could to help him. I prayed for them. So my question is this, do you pray for your church family and your pastor? Next question, do I need to ask forgiveness from someone? Let me make you a promise. If there's somebody you need to ask forgiveness, you go to them and say, I just want to ask your forgiveness. Now, if they say for what, you may or may not want to tell them. You might want to say, because I've said some things I'm ashamed of, don't tell them what that was. I won't do anything to edify them. Or I've thought some things I shouldn't think. That's enough. I had a pastor tell me one time of a guy in the church, went to a woman in the church and said, I've been having lustful thoughts about you, I ought not have. That is dumber than an ox. I mean, I wish Peter or Paul or James or John been there just to slap him silly for making such a statement. So if you will go ask whoever it is you need their forgiveness, if you'll go ask them, I will make you a promise. They will either say, well, you're forgiven, or they're in worse shape than you ever thought of being in, because you want your heart right with people. Not only do I give you the question, do I need to ask forgiveness from anyone? Here's the next question. Do I need to grant forgiveness to anyone? You say, well, they hadn't asked for it. That's not really a prerequisite. I need to forgive, and the reason they might need to ask is so fellowship can be restored. Folks, if I waited on people to ask, Baptists don't know how to ask for forgiveness. Can I tell you the Baptist way? I'm 60, soon be 65 years old, and I've known this about 60 years. Baptists act ugly as all get out to each other, and here's how they try to forgive. They just immediately, at some point, unannounced, start trying to act like nothing ever happened, and they call that forgiveness. The problem is God doesn't call that forgiveness. As much as it is possible, listen, live at peace with all men, especially those of the household of faith. You hear people say, well, I wouldn't want to be ugly to nobody because they could be lost. God's more concerned about how you treat his children than he is lost people. Now, you ought to want to treat them all right, but especially those of the household of faith. And if you've messed something up, the best you can straighten it up, go straighten it up. And if the people are close to it, leave me alone, then let them alone and pray for them. So I ask one more time, do you need to grant forgiveness to anyone? Another question, is there currently a particular sin that I refuse to let go of? If the truth were told, are you right now in the practice of some particular something that if they shot your picture and that up on the screen, it would absolutely cause your hair to fall out instantly? Well, if it's there, you got to get that right, or you're going to have a miserable new. You're not loving life, and you're not going to see good days. Is anybody in this room walking perfectly today? Absolutely not. But there's a difference in basic immaturity and your attempt to grow in grace versus, I know this is wrong, and I'm not going to give it up. You call that rank rebellion. And so, is there currently a particular sin that I refuse to let go of? Next question, can I think of someone who's spiritually stronger and knows more about God because of my witness last year? Did you contribute something to somebody's life last year spiritually and they're the better for it? That's my question. That's the question. Two more questions and I'm through. Am I currently wasting time and money on something that is robbing me of spiritual blessings? I really hesitate to say this because I mention it a great deal from time to time. Folks, we ain't got time to have spiritual blessings. We can't even go through the traffic light that turns green because we're checking Facebook. We can't get work done at the office because we're playing on the computer while we're on the clock. Did your phone tell you at the end of a week or the start of another week how much you was on the phone last week? That ought to horrify every one of us. Folks, you can't answer every email, check up with the whole world that you call friends, half of them you probably wouldn't speak to if you could, on your Facebook, and you got to know everything they're doing so you can contribute something that might be best left unsaid, and what goes lacking is your Bible reading and prayer time. And I'm telling you, I'm not saying you're doing it. I'm asking the question, am I currently wasting time or money on something that's robbing me of spiritual blessing? And if you are, that will be a sin against God. Folks, my time is not my own. I don't have a right to do that. God's given me that, and He's not going to give me any more. I get the same hours a week you get. You get the same I get. And some of you will figure this out, but as you get older, you won't have as much time to be productive because your body won't let you do that. Your recovery time will be longer. Last but not least, do I intentionally take the time to prepare my heart for worship each week before I come to church? There is no telling what a congregation would do and what would happen in a church if only the saved people said to the Lord throughout the week, "Dear God, I know my pastor is limited. We all are. But Lord, I'm asking you to speak to my heart. I'm asking you to do something in my church. God, I want you to do something in my life. If you don't do it in nobody's life, dear God, I want you to be speaking and doing something in my heart. And the best I know how, when I drive on that parking lot, I'm going to be ready to hear from you. So speak to me through my Sunday school teacher, through the choirs they sing, through the congregational hymns as we sing, and through my pastor as he breaks to me the word of life." Basic behavior, basic understanding, and basic questions for those who will love life and see good days. Would you bow with me? Father, I believe that everybody in this room loves life and wants to see not only good days, but even better days. And I pray, Lord, for each one of them that their best days are yet to come. And I pray to this very morning that God the Holy Spirit would have us ponder these basic issues that are simple enough for a little child to be taught, for a little child to understand. Lord, we are stewards of time, talent, and treasure. And may we do the best with all that you entrust us so that we will be able to love this life and use it for your glory, see good days so that our lives will live under the blessing of heaven. And we'll be able to invest our life in the lives of others so that they can be blessed of heaven and maybe even receive some of heaven's blessings through us as we seek to encourage them in their walk with Jesus. And Lord, on this Sunday morning, because we all need help, no one of us more than the other, I want to pray for the ones that might today need to make this a brand new start. Some here today, Lord, need to be saved. Would you save them? Many of them, Lord, in here today know you, and this needs to be a new start of this being their church home, of being devoted to the breaking of the Word of God and the fellowship of God's people, and learning how to walk in grace again. Lord, it really doesn't matter how many times we stumble. It matters how many times we get up. And today, by the mercy and grace of God, may some get up. May they get up and move and get up and do what they need to do in order to find the year 2019, the best year yet, loving this life and seeing the best days yet. Lord, how I pray your blessing on every heart in this place, from the youngest to the oldest. Touch each one in a special way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know what I would do if I could, but I don't know how to do that. If I could, I would.